Hey, everybody, welcome to the September episode of Making Progress Podcast. And so we're super excited to be here today. Glad you could join us. And so today we're going to be highlighting a lot of great stuff. We're going to be talking a lot about back to school, in particular for our colleges, Jacksonville College Seminary, and also public schools, some of the things that are happening there. We're going to be talking a lot about missions, both global and certainly our state missions, and we're going to be highlighting a really special ministry to me, and that is our ministry spotlight, a young lady named Angie. And so Ms. Diane's going to be here to talk about that, but we're glad you're here. It's going to be a great episode. So as always, let me just introduce who's with me today. So I'm Chris Driver, and then this is Heath Mitchell, the incomparable Heath Mitchell. And so he is our director of missions for the BMA of Texas, and so we're glad he's here. He's always our resident expert on all things BMA, and so we love to have his input on things.
The reason we might not have one. Huh?
So, man, and he is deep into BMA of Texas history right now as we come up close to celebrating our 125th anniversary, and so that's going to be exciting. We'll talk some about that. But our really special guest today is Miss Diana Morris. So super special lady to me. You know, has probably the best title of all, and that's Grammy. Yes. We love that, and so she's here. But she is a daughter of a pastor.
I'm a preacher's kid who married a deacon's kid.
Oh man, I love that. So you have deacon experience, know how that goes, you know, the inner workings of all that. But also, your son was a missionary to Ecuador.
Missionary to Ecuador.
Ecuador, mm-hmm. And also pastor, a friend of mine.
Yes.
And so love Trevor. And so, so man, you've got all kinds of that. Not to mention lots and lots of history with the WMA. And so
I do
love the WMA and have served there faithfully so many years. And so
thank you.
So thank you so much for being
today,
man. We're excited about that. And
I'm excited
special reason you're here, especially I love all that, but also a really special connection to our ministry spotlight today.
Yes.
And so can't wait to hear.
You know, she happens to be my next door neighbor also.
Awesome, man. So I mean right there.
And a teacher too, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And she is a teacher. So man, you got it all. So that's why
I do.
I got a lot to offer today, so we're excited. So let's jump into
it. All right.
And let's talk about the Baptist Progress and what's going on around the BMA of Texas. All right. And so right off the bat, we're just going to jump right into it. And the cover this month was really about back to school. And that was kind of the theme for the issue overall. But really wanted to highlight some really interesting things that are happening in public schools in the state of Texas, because, you know, every year there's a lot of things that happen. You know, kids go back to school, some of them start new schools, some of them, you know, new teachers, certainly most of them. And but this year they went back with some new laws and some really interesting laws, to be honest with you. So I mean, the one that most people are talking about is the cell phone bill, right?
So
I mean, not that cell phones are ever a bad thing, you know, but yeah, so the House passed a bill that would really just, it made it, I'd say illegal, but I mean, you know, if they pass a law against something, you know, that's the first thing to talk about, is it? But, you know, just prohibited cell phones on campus and the use of those cell phones by students on campus. And so it's really sparked a lot of debate. So what have you heard? I mean, as a teacher, I mean, what do you
think? We didn't have much of a problem. I'm from a small town. Yeah. So in elementary, it was not that big of a thing.
Yeah.
But you get to fourth, fifth, sixth grade, our intermediate, they are getting those phones and they love it.
Yes.
So that's probably where our problems would begin. Mm-hmm. And by the time they got to high school, the big thing was students wanted to look up the answers.
Mm,
you can do that now. You can just speak into your phone and you have the answer.
Absolutely.
And also taking pictures, even if they're inappropriate.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah.
But just so much usage. Yeah. It was really taking away from class time.
Yeah. So you can kind of see, you know, all those things. And I mean, we all know, you know, that there's, I mean, we're all addicted to that thing. I mean, it's in our pocket. It's always there. It's always where. Yeah. So I can kind of see, you know, kind of this push for that. Just kind of try to help you know, the kids just kind of detox maybe just for a little bit every day. But, well, you know, there's also, we talked about, you know, the opposite, the parent. I mean, you're from a big school. I mean, the opposite here is, you know, that there's a worry for that as parents, right?
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. I mean, parents don't want to lose that connection to their kids while they're at school. And so I understand that side of it as well.
Absolutely. So it's, I think what I've discovered is really just the struggle with how do we enforce this thing, you know, and that was kind of covered that. And I gave an example here in the progress of one of, actually, my wife is a teacher, Jamie. Mm-hmm. She's a teacher, a middle school teacher. She's an eighth grade English teacher. And so one of her students there at her school, they did the lock bags. And so that's what the picture on the front cover there is one of the students using a lock bag. So they come in, they drop the phone in, they close it up, and it's magnetic. And so they go to one of these magnetic kiosks, and they put it on there, and it locks it for the day. And so they can carry it with them. They have it, but they don't have access to it. And so
that's a great idea.
And so I'm not sure how expensive those things are, but there's some of that going around. But most of them, like the school that I'm on the school board for, we've just said, you know, don't bring them, you know.
And that's so what we've said.
Really the enforcement comes with, you know, what do you do when you see them, you know, because I mean, I know that they did take off the table. You can't charge parents for getting them back now, even if they're taken up. And so, so it's, I think that's going to be the long-term issue is like, how do we enforce this thing? And hopefully that, you know, the kids will get more used to not having it. And, and you know, we'll see some of those conversations really start happening again. But anyway, there's all kinds of stuff. But the other big bill was the Ten Commandments. You know, so they wanted to put the Ten Commandments back into Texas public schools. And so they passed the law. I think at least the third state to do it. I know Arkansas and Louisiana both have similar bills that have passed. And, you know, the struggle with that is, and we were talking earlier that we haven't seen them, you know, in the schools yet.
I've not seen them in my schools.
I know we haven't seen them, and Jamie hasn't seen them up yet, hasn't even heard really anything about putting them up. But I think there is some lawsuits right now that are happening from the ACLU and some other organizations that are pushing back against it. But it's there. And so we're excited about that. And I think for me, I think the kind of the big takeaway for this was that I'm just excited that, you know, our lawmakers are at least addressing some of the, trying to address some of these issues that are really have a spiritual component, you know, not so much just, you know, physical, but I mean, our kids need that. I mean, they need that. And we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, even if, however we feel about public schools and, you know, if our kids are there, they're not, if we're homeschooling or, you know, private schools, whatever it is, that there's always going to be Texas kiddos in these public schools. And man, we need people that are being advocates for them, that are protecting them and loving them and really looking out for them spiritually. And so I think that's where I kind of landed on this. I'm excited that, you know, at least there's some hope for this school year, you know, in some different ways. And
I know with back to school, we all are committed to praying for our schools.
Yes, please.
Praying for teachers, praying for students.
Yeah. And
a lot of schools have the prayer. A lot of churches have the prayer walks around their school.
Yeah, and in it, absolutely.
With I think the law even said the size of the poster.
Yes.
That may be the only opportunity that a child sees
like
anything about God.
16 inches by 20 inches at least, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's, so yeah, putting it up and letting them see it. Yes. I mean, I just can't imagine it being a bad thing.
Oh, me neither. That seems like a wonderful idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And like I say, it's just, we haven't seen it really pushed in forward, but at least it's there. And I know there were other bills that were passed that dealt with DEI and some of those other things.
Yes.
But again, all that to say that there was some push for really protecting our kids spiritually. And so I think, you know, our job then would be just to pray for lawmakers, continue to pray for, you know, our children especially, and the teachers and the faculty and the administration that are dealing with this on a daily basis, that, you know, that, man, we would just see a coming back of, you know, bringing God back into the public school systems. And so, it's a big deal, big deal. Yeah. So moving on, man, we just want to jump right into our ministry spot. spotlight in this week. This super special article. I had this one written for a couple of months and really waiting for a good time to put it in there. But man, yes. I tell you what, I love Miss Angie. And
yes.
So wrote a real special article about this special friend of ours, you know, Angie Northcutt. And so I'm just going to let you kind of describe kind of her ministry. And, you know, you were there kind of for the beginning of it.
The very beginning.
Absolutely.
And this is what she does. Oops. Let me not knock everything down. She sends a card out. This is her Cards with Love ministry. And I'm sorry, Cards with Care. Angie has Down syndrome. She still lives with her mom and her mom's husband. So she's very involved in our church. I will say that she is the official banker for our Vacation Bible School and has been for at least 15 or more years.
Yep.
And that's just a great job for her. Just involvement, something she can do at church.
Yeah.
This card, I had missed a Wednesday night, and so she sent me this card. It says, "You're on my mind and in my prayers. My thoughts turn to you today, and I wanted to let you know." And it has a verse up here. And she signs the card, "God love you, pray for you, church family, Angela Northcutt." She may not can teach. She may not get in there and cook on a Wednesday night, but these cards touch so many lives.
Absolutely. When I was talking with Nita about it, you know, she was saying, you know, probably 1,000 a year that she'll send
every
out.
Bit.
1,000 people will get, you know, thinking of you cards if they're, you know, all the prayer lists, you know, that she sends out, you know, those to the prayer list.
As soon as someone visits our church for second or third time, she's right there in the office wanting their address. She wants to send them a card. And it's just, it makes you feel so warm in your heart to receive one of her cards.
Absolutely. So that's one of my first memories, you know, there at Union Hill when I went to pastor there. And was that, you know, she was standing in line at the time. And this was before, you know, and Miss Hannah has, you know, the children's minister has now gets her list, she said, you know, of all the people and all the new names and things. But she would be the one of the first ones in line to give you a hug. But also, can I get your address?
What's your address?
What are your birthdays? And what are your address? Because she sends them out for birthdays. And for 2 years after we went back to West Texas and we left Union Hill, we got birthday cards from her. So, I mean, it just, and it was such a special time. Union Hill was so special to us because of that, because of, you know, special people like Angela. But I think one of the things that touched me the most is when Nita, you know, she said, listen, it's anybody can serve. You know, there's there's really no excuse. And I think that's why I wanted to highlight her ministry, you know, from the very point of coming on as editor here was I knew I wanted to write that article.
Yes.
Was that, I mean, anybody can serve. And I mean, you know, she has a letdown syndrome, keep her from doing that. She, you know, Nita was talking about her whole life growing up. Her dad was a pastor. And so she would go over to the church and she would sing and she just loved Jesus. She loves people and she wanted to connect the two. And I think, I mean, that's such a powerful testimony to the fact that we don't have an excuse. I mean, every single one of us should be serving in some way that we all, one of the things I try to teach our folks at Oasis is, you know, everything is kingdom valuable. So everything you love to do, everything you're trained to do, everything you, I mean, just your passions, your interests, hobbies. I mean, if we would just put it on the table and let God go, you know, here's how I want to use it, we could come up with so many more ministries like this. I mean, it's such a simple thing, a card.
Sure.
But I mean, ours always had, you know, your church friend, Angela, you know,
your
when she first
friend.
Started.
Mm-hmm.
I always loved that about, you know, just getting it, man, because she certainly is. She's our
sweetheart.
Our church family. So
she's also my helper in Vacation Bible School.
Yes, she loves those kids.
And that's the preschool group. It takes special people to be in there with preschool.
I believe
and
that.
After she takes care of the offerings, the banker comes and becomes a helper in preschool.
Awesome.
And I just love Angela.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'll tell you what,
she's
I do too.
She wants to take the pastor a bottle of water every morning. She wants to pray with the praise team.
She does.
And
she
leads that prayer. And like you said, everyone can do something for the Lord's ministry and His work.
Absolutely.
I know in the article it said that she really took value in singing at the church, and yet wasn't able to do that anymore. She lost that ability, and really began to seek how can she serve the Lord through her church.
Yeah, when one door closed, she's like, and I can still find a way to serve.
And her statement here: everyone needs encouragement and needs to be seen and missed. Man, she found a real need and a real place, and man has just been faithful, hasn't she?
And it does. It truly is. I mean, it's a simple thing, but it's so impactful to know that, you know, somebody noticed you weren't there on a Wednesday night.
Right.
Somebody noticed you weren't there, or, you know, that you're having a birthday and you get a card. And there's something special about, I'm still an old-fashioned guy. I love to get mail.
I mean,
there's something about getting a card that's different. You know, I get a text and all that, but getting something in the mail, I mean, that's a pretty powerful thing.
That's the old postman in you, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah. All those years of dropping them off. At least I like to get them.
And there's the cost of the stamp. Stamps are not cheap anymore.
Nope, they're not.
Yeah. And she takes her check and she goes and buys her stamps.
Yeah. And a handwritten expression, you know, in a world now of text. You know, I mean, we love to get a text. It's still a thought and a touch. But to get something handwritten and thought out, I just think it's wonderful.
She's a special lady, man. I tell you what,
is.
I'm so excited and so thankful for her and her ministry and her family and Nita and Mark. But man, it's good. But again, the challenge would be, you know, find a way to serve.
Exactly.
I mean, you can find something. There's something you can do to reach your church family. We were meant to walk in, you know, fellowship with one another, encouragement, and we can serve one another somehow, some way.
That's right.
So no excuses. Get in there. Angie, we love you, Angie.
Yes, Angie.
All right. Brings us to missions, man, our state missions.
Yeah.
What's going on in the world of state missions?
Man, our missionaries are just, man, they're being faithful and just at work all around the state, man, in a progress that is full of international. That Texas has such an international population, and that we are trying to be faithful to reach reach all kinds of people. Very, very historic to BMF Texas, as we've been looking at that. In 1901, in our first year, we had 2 missionaries in Mexico, but here in the States, we were reaching. We were engaging in English and Spanish. We were carrying the gospel to German migrants, Czechoslovakian migrants.
Yeah.
Greek. There was Greek communities that we were engaging with the gospel at that time. And so 125 years still seeing the Lord do that through us is so exciting. Brother Haitao He from China, working down in Corpus Christi, puts in the progress this time that they have a brand new family in their house group from Ghana, West Africa. And how cool is that?
Absolutely.
But to see how God is working in each of our mission points, our article tends to be long, and I have to do a lot of flipping, in the progress. But Brother Jose Torres is sharing this time that he has been training his people in gospel sharing and has been sending them home each Sunday with 5 tracts each week with an assignment to share the gospel and talk to people. And just his excitement about the fact that his people are doing that.
Yeah.
And they're coming back every Sunday with stories of who they gave, who they had conversations with, and who they gave those tracts to, and when they got to to share the gospel. Man, Kevin Williams got to baptize his son this month.
That's always
so
special,
celebrating with him. Turning back, Father, Abner wants each of you to know, Abner Nunez, that that he has uh, that you prayed this last month for him and his knees. They were giving him such trouble. He was a bit mm-hmm. shut down, and he is just praising the Lord that he has recovered from that and feeling so much better. I want you to remember the Hispanic missionaries. You know, outside of the politics of everything going on, it's affecting their mission works. It's affecting mm-hmm. real people in BMA churches. Miguel just had a member deported, detained and deported back to Honduras, and so their congregation is certainly feeling that. Marvin Molina, your missionary over in Plano, last month he told you that he was placed in an ankle bracelet and really just is saying this month that he is feeling so much better, just cared for by the Lord and committed that no matter what, he's just faithfully walking and serving. And so, but we remember those men.
Yeah.
You know, my article this time in the mission world was a challenge to attend your local association. We're into that season.
Yes.
Local associations all over the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. And man, two challenges for me. Go to your local association. And for those churches not in a local association, I encourage you to find one near you that's healthy and visit and check it out and connect with other churches. Man, we just know that churches that rub up against and fellowship with other local churches are healthier for it.
Yeah.
And so we just really encourage that. In the next 2 months, there's a calendar in the progress of all of the local associations, and I encourage you to go and connect.
And like you said, those are open to anybody. I mean, so if you're not currently part of one, then you can be. I mean, just go attend one, even if it's not necessarily yours. You know, maybe yours doesn't meet. There are several that don't have local associations, and so I think go and find one and just fellowship and connect. I think it's a powerful way. But I'm glad you didn't give me trouble for not being in the paper this time.
So. Well, I need to give you trouble. It's like Chris is busy with something.
Yeah, I didn't get my report in this time.
Maybe shame on you.
Like progress, yes. So I didn't see Oasis. See Oasis in the progress.
We're doing good. We're doing good, which is awesome.
Great.
Because Union Hill is our sending church.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah, but we're doing awesome. And, we had actually, this is our second fifth Sunday serve. We do a thing on fifth Sunday. And so we dismiss regular worship service. And so we just go as a group and go serve somewhere. We've done it in nursing homes. This time we actually invited people there to the building, but we served lunch and gave out about 50 food bags for financially struggling families around Leveland. And so
wonderful.
They came in and we got
That's
to
great.
Love on them and pray with them and tell them about the Lord and share the gospel. So it was good. It was a great, great time. And it's really a big time for our people to learn to, you know, this is not just about us,
that
we need to be serving our community and connecting. And so we tried to be faithful to what we were talking about last month, and that was, you know, get out and serve and be connected to your community. And so we're doing that. We're starting to emerge. And so it was a good time for us. But thank you for not, you know, beating me up too bad. So,
you know, my daughter and her family are members of the church that shuts down on a Sunday and goes
out.
Absolutely, And every time they do that, Tiffany and Ryan receive such a blessing. And one time Tiffany just sat and she and Natalie painted fingernails at the nursing home.
Wow, yeah.
But then Ryan was pouring concrete or something,
That's awesome.
You know, a lot more
challenging.
But it's the lives that they touch.
Yeah,
yes.
Well,
I challenge us to do that.
Absolutely. But I mean,
take the church outside the doors.
Yeah. And be the church. It's almost cliche, you know, just, you know, to be the church, not just do church, but be the church.
Yes.
And so, you know, opportunities where we do things like that,
right.
You know, just, but you know, it's just like missions. We're going to talk about, you know, global missions here in a minute. But I mean, as we do those things, you always think you're going to go be the blessing, but inevitably,
God turns it around.
You get blessed more than you ever feel like you give a blessing. So so it's cool, man. I'm so excited about what God's doing in state missions. It is, it blows my mind, really, to see just, you know, again, just what God has done over the last about 5, 6, 7 years in particular, and just how He's reached people and planted churches, and you know, just, man, it's amazing.
I'm humbled
that we get to be a part of that kind of work. I mean, and literally, we say this all the time, but literally, the world is coming to Texas.
Yes.
I mean, it is. I mean, some of these pockets of internationals. It's. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have to go anywhere. I mean, it's
right,
coming
it's
to
here.
Us.
Oh, yes.
So we just need to be faithful, and I think we are. And I just really love that about, you know, how we've turned that corner and really just. And yes. Come back to that, like you said, original roots where we started. You know, I mean, just reaching the people that are here.
And the Lord Lord continues to provide. And man, we just try to be faithful, don't we?
Absolutely,
He is amazing.
Yes,
and making Himself known.
Yeah,
yes.
It's amazing. So,
yeah.
Well, all right. Well, TBHC, we love the home. So
sure,
got some exciting news coming up, and I don't. Remember if he didn't really exactly share in here. There's some exciting news coming out in the communique next
yeah, there is. So, TBHC is actually hosting a dinner mm-hmm. At the state meeting. So we're going to get to break and go and have a meal together as a BMA family on the campus mm-hmm. of TBHC in November. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, and there's some really exciting news in
there.
We won't that's spoiler alerts. I mean, so we'll just kind of, they call that a teaser, I think. So be looking for the exciting news.
Ooh, and I know what it is.
Because
I was in a meeting with Pastor Jason, Brother Jason last week.
Awesome.
Yes,
awesome.
We've been
very
joking.
It's very excited.
It's the worst kept secret in the BMA, but we won't break it today.
But if you haven't heard it, stay tuned if you haven't heard it. But this was a great story. I mean, really, it's the end of their fiscal year. And so, you know, just really talking about the difference that people's contributions make to the home. And so, you know, to TBHC and really special story about a young man that came on mm-hmm. campus and said, hey, my name is over there.
Yeah.
On the wall, and was able to hear, you see it in the paper there, the picture of that young man standing in front of his name there. He was adopted through TBHC, and so I mean that's the, and I think that was Jason's heart was that, you know, this is what your contributions do. I mean, these are not just, you know, arbitrary stories. These are real people. Real kiddos that need love. They come from most of them just really horrible situations, and so to find a forever home mm-hmm. Through TBHC.
Yes.
I mean, and you know, Christian homes, and that's really the big focus. I mean, for TBHC mm-hmm. is it's not just anybody, but it's Christian homes where these kids are going to go, and they're going to go mm-hmm. into healthy places and foster opportunities. And we talked about it last month that, you know, it's hard. I mean, to foster, but you just never know the impact that whatever time you have with them is going to have on that kid. I mean, it may be the one glimpse of the gospel that they get, and it may transform their life forever. Yes. And so they definitely need that. But they also, as they turn that corner for new contributions. So,
yes.
We had two children at Union Hill that were adopted from TBHC.
Yeah. Wow.
And just loved them. Spencer and Sydney Shin. They were wonderful kids.
Well, you know, man, when adoption and foster children meets the local church, the whole church gets to be a part of the process.
Right.
Then everyone gets to love them. And Jason states in here this time that he said, this year, to challenge your church, care for kids in your neighborhood who need a place to call home. And I really like mm-hmm. that. I am so supportive of that shift at TBHC.
Yes.
I mean, the idea is you as a church care for the kids that need a place in your community. Say yes with trust that TBHC stands ready to equip and support you. You know, no matter where you are in the state of Texas, to just help you care for these kids, to foster, to adopt, to do these things, and then allow the whole church to come alongside and support and support that. It's wonderful. One of the highlights for me in the Baptist Progress is always the honorariums mm-hmm. and memorials. I think it is so fitting for Christian people to leave legacy in this way. And I always enjoy looking down the list and seeing, Brother Paul Heerman honored on here. Love mm-hmm. Brother Paul so much. And Miss Vicki Odom, Brother Randy, such man, such a long time committed worker at TBHC. I just see so many here,
I love it.
It's cool.
I love it. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, as they turn that fiscal corner, again, this is time when we start looking at, you know, how can we give? You know, we need to be generous in our giving, and I don't think there's not a better place that could go because we live in a world where there's so much brokenness, and you know, true. Agencies like the TBHC, you know, that are standing in the gap for those mm-hmm. kiddos,
yes.
many of which who don't have anybody to advocate for them. And so, yeah, definitely a worthy cause to get to. And so we skip from that to Jacksonville College, man. I mean, the kiddos going to college, man. They're not kiddos anymore. Kind of a bittersweet time of back to school for some parents as their kiddos are going off. But,
man,
what an exciting time. At Jacksonville College, man, over the last couple of years that Dr. Erickson's been there, I mean, it has been, man, I'm so pumped. I'm so pumped about what God is doing.
To have come from such a moment of crisis just a couple of years ago,
man.
To today, we're looking at an article that celebrates the largest student enrollment at Jacksonville College in their history.
That's
man, what about that?
Absolutely.
This year, they have 683 students. In an organization older than the BMA of Texas itself, mm-hmm. For them to be setting that record this year, I just praise the Lord and see that as such affirmation that there is a bright future for Jacksonville College.
Absolutely,
looking over this year, they had such an on campus population this year that they literally ran out of beds.
Yeah.
And I love the story.
Yes.
So their idea, they called Daniel Springs and said, hey, we need bunk beds. And so they have borrowed bunk beds from Daniel Springs and set them up in dorm rooms so that they can house more students there on the campus of Jacksonville College.
That's a good problem to have. Right?
That's a good problem to have.
I love it.
And yay, Daniel Springs.
Yes.
For being just a ministry partner,
absolutely,
to Jacksonville.
Yeah, I love that picture right there, man. Of you know that they sent in of the packed bleachers there on orientation day. That just you see, just I mean, it's
lives.
Golly,
you see lives.
Yes,
that can
absolutely.
Be touched.
And I mean, it's full. And I mean, that was not the story a couple of years ago. So, man, it is so exciting to see there. But
I know we all continue to pray for and support Jacksonville College. I think this month they've got a dedication of the chapel, chapel coming up. And so that is exciting to see it back to life.
Yeah.
And there's an article in here about their sports program right now. And to know soccer is underway and cross country, but Chris and I were talking yesterday about the world we're in today. The esports team at Jacksonville College competing against other colleges.
Yeah, I mean they made a list there, so they got Smash Brothers, Rocket League, EA Sports, the football, so 2026, and then Madden Football 2026. So I mean, I was like, wow, it blows my away. It blows me away to think that they've got. Esports is something, and they give scholarships to it. I mean, it's a thing, man. So it blows me away. But I need to go check that out. But my thing was they got a golf team fixing to come up, and I've heard great things about their golf team. I'm super excited to see that. So I know for a fact that they've got a virtual driving range there that they can go and hit, and it does all the measures, all the swing speed and measures ball speed, and you know you can actually play courses and practice whether it's rain, snow. Sunshine, so it's I need to go down there and maybe do an article on that.
For real? That sounds like something that might interest you.
Yeah, I always have my clubs with me. I always have the sticks with me.
Just in case.
You never know, I do.
Hey, I want to remind everybody, on September 22nd at 11 a.m. is the chapel dedication at Jacksonville College. That's something we can all in person celebrate and check out together.
Yes. Awesome.
You know, in these athletic events, that brings in a lot of the students.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And most of those, I mean, are not saved. I mean, may not.
Right.
Most of them don't have a have a, I know for a long time, you know, that has been their primary focus of, of really evangelism on campus has been to a lot of those athletes, many of which coming from other countries even.
Yes.
So, you know, really being able to see that as a mission field for these kiddos. But you know, I mean, they're representing, you know, the college well. And I'll tell you what, it is exciting to see what God's doing at Jacksonville College. And so,
yes. Yeah. And of BMA interest, the singers have grown this year.
Yes.
Yeah, that program has grown and expanded. So we're glad of that.
Yes, we are. We are. All right.
Man, Brother Jerry has a new article.
Yep.
In progress that, man, I found so useful. And it's construction help. It's really a guide and a help thinking through construction at your local church from your Baptist Missionary Loan Association. And man, knowing that they stand ready to help and watching them help, man, more churches than I've ever seen them helping. Yeah. You know, both man, BMA churches and BMA of Texas Missions that are being served and helped by the Loan Association. But
yeah, I had
man, a good
dinner
here.
With him the other day, and they said they just got a new loan that had come in. So I'm glad people are taking advantage of that. But yeah, he gives some great advice about kind of stepping through, because that's a big deal in a church's life when you start remodels and new building programs. And I mean, it's a
sure is.
And I know that Jerry would love to go even more in depth in that and walking people through that. So it is an exciting time. So, yeah, it brings us to Mission World. So global missions, I mean, this is our, you know, every other month we have the Mission World insert into our paper. And so this time, you know, they gave us some really wonderful articles. Really a challenge, I think, as we look at this, a challenge to go and making it available to go. And I know that you have a lot of experience. I know Calvin was, you know, all about, you know, the BMMI and, you know, just a lot of those mission trips. And so
Calvin went to many countries and all but two continents. We don't have money to leave for our children. We spend it all on mission trips.
Amen to that.
A mission trip is just a great opportunity. It's not a vacation. Don't think you're going on a vacation, because you'll come back tireder than you left.
I'm into that. Oh.
But the souls that you see changed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
The living conditions that you see on people.
Yes.
Is heartbreaking sometimes.
But it gives perspective.
It does.
Yes.
It does. And the way that you can minister to these people, the way you can help them, whether it's through a shoebox ministry, that's my heart. You can reach, when we hand out Christmas shoeboxes, we don't just show up and give them toys and things. Yeah. We show up, we have a worship service.
Yeah.
We have a sermon on the children's levels. But by the time they get that Christmas shoebox in their hands, they have heard about Jesus. Amen. They have heard the plan of salvation. And we tie that Christmas gift back into the gift that God gave us of Jesus.
Yes.
That's so that just touches me so much.
Absolutely.
The other mission trips that we can be part of would be the BMMI, the medical missions. Before people can even be treated, or after they're treated, before they can get their medication, they go through and sit down and talk with someone who's going to share through evangelism in their language. I may be sitting there talking to them, but there's a translator to take it to them.
Into their heart language.
So, yes. Mm-hmm. So you're fixing their outside body, whatever problems they might have. Their eyes, every person gets to go and see if they need a new set of glasses, which, by the way, they're just readers. But what they're given to read, whether it's out here or out here, it's John 3:16. They're not looking at an eye chart.
Yeah, that's
so awesome. It's a great ministry.
Yes.
Go if you can.
Yes.
It's great.
And BMMI is not just for medical. If you're medically trained, they need your help. But at the same time, they just need people to go and serve on these BMMI trips.
I've counted pills. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've gone and played with the children.
Yep. Yeah.
They also have opportunities around just ministry care teams that just go and support and love on missionaries on different fields and walk beside them for a week. They also have real dedicated support ministry teams. They have the volunteer student ministry teams where students can go and really engage in missions with training.
Yeah, I've taken both my sons on those. That was kind of our, just man-to-man serving. And so one went to Mexico, the other went to Romania. And it was really life-changing for them to be able to see another culture, as a teenager. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to really form what matters most in your life, and then all of a sudden you look and you see, oh my gosh, the rest of the world does not live like we live. I mean, it's so powerful. So the volunteer student missions is something I'm super passionate, kind of like you with the shoeboxes. But to see these kiddos get to experience, another culture, but also to serve. And again, it's not a vacation. You go and we spend some time doing some of that stuff. But really, I mean, you're on the ground serving. You're loving on people. Yes. You're sharing the gospel. We train before we go and, equip these kids with the opportunity, or the tools necessary to share the gospel and to work with translators. And it is life-changing. And, I mean, if you're afraid of overseas, we do have domestic ones. They have ones that are, in the United States. And we've got great opportunities all over the United States for serving and doing these mission trips. I think we were trying to get one, West Texas team, for next summer to go over to Phoenix. We've got two planters over in Phoenix that that needed some help over there. We have Utah, Florida has some places, but Georgia.
Great opportunity for a mission trip for your young people in your church.
Yeah.
Take as many adults as you do young people.
Absolutely.
And what life changer could be for those adults also.
Absolutely.
So just to understand that your BMA Global Missions can do the work for you. They will set up these trips. They connect to real ministry need in these countries and bring you alongside missionaries in that country on the ground.
Yes.
And man, you can go and connect and make a difference, and you will have impact on those people, but also that impact will extend to you and your local church and will bring it back.
And what I love about that, that's the fact that we're connecting directly to missionaries, and it's, you can build ongoing relationships with these missionaries and not just them, but their people. And what's cool is to go back to the same place. And then you those kids know you, or the people there, they remember you coming last year or the year before. And so to build these international connections, I always tell people all the time, it's amazing, when you go on these places. I mean, the connection that you have with another human being just over the fact that we can't speak the same language, but we love the same God, and we're saved by the same grace. Yes. And I mean, to have that connection, to be united in faith in Christ, it transcends language, culture. I mean, you just love another human being, and it's just to be able to see that I love you in a way that is supernatural. I mean, because we are connected in Christ. I mean, it's a powerful, powerful opportunity. And people that have never gone, I just encourage them.
Yes.
Man, find one of these. The BMA of America has, Global has these opportunities, for these trips. Mm-hmm. I'd say reach out. And one thing too, the shoeboxes, I know also you're about to go on one for the shoeboxes.
In December, we plan to go to El Salvador and all deliver the boxes this year.
Yeah.
Hey, can I just brag a little bit?
Sure.
Many people, when my husband passed away, they asked where they could send money. And their offerings went to Christmas shoeboxes. And we stuffed over 200 boxes just in memory of Calvin.
Wonderful.
And if you have someone that passes, that's a great, great thing to do.
Absolutely.
Flowers don't last. They wilt. Christmas shoeboxes, every box has a Bible on the very top that lasts forever.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I know they've extended the deadline to October. I don't remember the exact date, but
yes.
Usually it's September, early September, but yes. I know that I got an email that they had extended that deadline. So there's still opportunities. If you yes. want to stuff some boxes, that you know, get a hold
stuff
of the
boxes the BMA and give
America.
Me a call. Yeah, give Union Hill Baptist Church a call. We are one of the locations that you can deliver your boxes to.
Wonderful.
And then
yeah.
we'll get them up to Conway.
I remember that was one time of year I always got to go see Calvin. I bring
yes.
some over and I get to go
yes.
sit with Calvin for all, because he's always yes. about unloading those shoe boxes. So he was in charge
yes.
of that. I sure do miss him and love that legacy, though, that he had for missions. So it's exciting. So get involved. I mean, there's opportunities.
Yes.
And so lots of great mission stories in here.
This next time. One, it just really centers in on a short-term mission trip that took place this year
yeah.
in Costa
yes.
Rica.
The real.
The Luis real, Ortiz. If you look at this picture right in the middle, this is the real Luis Ortega, not the one, the fake one that works in our missions office.
He gives you
he
trouble.
He claims to be the real one.
The real
that's
one.
How he introduces
this
himself.
Is one of our change makers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he married Soraya, the daughter of our missionary in Costa Rica, Brother Jairo Bucanilla. Did I mess his name up?
You did better than I could.
Great. Team way better than I would.
Brother Jairo has been there many years.
Yes. Yep.
And Soraya, his daughter, is a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. And she and Luis work through our missions also as a short-term, as a change maker. Another opportunity for a short-term mission trip
yep,
here.
Absolutely.
And anyone can go.
Yeah, great story about one. And then from there, the next story is just a highlight of a church mm. and how they've been impacted by their engagement
yeah.
in mission trips globally. Brother, this was written by Pastor Gary Longstaff at Grandview Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri. But I enjoyed the article. They've been on several of these trips. Mm-hmm. And y'all know how it is. We know everyone needs the gospel. But when you start really engaging and meeting people and putting faces and names
yes.
and prayers to that, it changes everything.
Ooh, it does.
And their heart has become global, just as this local community,
yeah.
you know, local community church. And it has resulted in way more mission engagement at home, way more mission
yeah.
giving
mm-hmm.
on their part. They're a church that is connected to the mission of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that ignited for them in this story because they were willing to say yes and take some trips.
Yeah.
Many of the members in their congregation.
Yeah.
I love this.
Well, and you know, I think sometimes we always look at, you know, talking about like the book of Acts, you know, Acts 1, when, you know, he says that you'll Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. We always look at that kind of linear and like, you know,
right.
that's how it goes. But I mean, what we see in stories like this and in experiences is that it's not like that. So one feeds the other. So
yes.
when you really
yeah.
get passionate about your Jerusalem, you can't help but want to take it further. And when you
yes.
see further, when you see the ends of the earth, it impacts how you see local missions. And
yes.
so, I mean, it's not one or the other. Our God's pretty smart. And so when he says, you know, he gives us this plan for accomplishing being his witnesses, I mean, it's so connected that, you know, the more you do one, the more you want to do the other.
Yes.
And I mean, that is the heart of that, is that it just feeds one another. And so we see
yes.
that time and time again
yes.
on folks that have
mm-hmm.
gone, you know, around the world, that it just impacts,
yes.
you know, what they do locally.
Yes,
and I mean,
it does.
It, you can't help but want to serve yeah. serve your people.
When them. You get a mission heart,
yeah,
God
it.
Doesn't give that heart for just one yeah. country or one town. He gives it to you for everything.
Yeah. I always,
because you want to share Jesus with everybody.
Absolutely. And I always, you know, just, you know, say that, you know, when Jesus saw people, you know,
right.
when he saw their spiritual condition and he was aware of that, it just gave him, it moved him to compassionate action
mm-hmm.
on their behalf. And
yes.
I think that's what happens sometimes in mission trips and short-term mission trips, that for the first time, God allows you to see in a different way, change of perspective,
mm-hmm.
change of place. You know, I mean, it just gives you this chance to go back, and suddenly you start seeing people
yes.
the way Jesus
yes.
sees people, and you go home and you carry that with you, and you start seeing your people the way that Jesus sees your people. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's impactful. It really is life changing. So,
One thing to brag on this church, they increased. It says our church is preparing to increase missions giving again, this time by an additional 33%. Wow.
Yeah, they're all in.
Yes, they are.
We're gonna put our money where our mouth is.
Oh, yes.
That's it. So I mean,
I could point you to multiple BMA churches that are given that have literally are thriving while giving as much as 50% out missionally.
Absolutely, you can't outgive God. It's not just a cliche. I mean, it's not just a cliche. You can't outgive God, man. So when you're gonna be all about His mission, He's going to bless that. He's going to support that.
Become a conduit for that mission.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. And the last one is really about the internet. You know, the LifeWord News. What can you say about that ministry? You know,
LifeWord has been amazing. Mm-hmm. The way they connect and open the doors and support missions and the spread of the gospel all around the world. I think currently in 170 languages. They highlight internet here, and we just know how important that is. Literally, countries around this world now, where people might still live in poverty, might still live in a mud structure, a one room mud structure, but have a cell phone.
Yeah.
Yes.
The world is becoming so connected to the internet, and so you know, obviously, the importance of just sharing the gospel across the internet in languages familiar to them all around the world. Mm-hmm. So. Good article.
Absolutely. Good. I just love, you know, thinking of LifeWord. I can't, you know, at Union Hill, we were always so connected to Bolivia. And, you know, when we go down and, you know, put up, you know, radio towers, you know, down in the jungles, you know, and you're putting up radio towers. And I mean, so now it's like cell phone towers. I mean, you know, out in the jungles, I mean, they're reaching in places. I mean, that was always their heart, was to reach into places that you couldn't physically go. But, you know, you can't stop the airwaves from coming in. You can't stop the internet from coming in. And so to be able to continue to advance that vision for that, we're going to reach the unreached in, you know, whatever ways, and utilize that and that internet. So that is a so proud of them and excited about what they're doing there for sure. So,
and then we moved to BMA Seminary with such a missional global heart as well. And in their article this time, they're just talking about their international reach. Just you know, right now they have 102 students preparing for ministry, being just equipped in the scriptures and just empowered with evangelism skills and disciple making skills, and to see that that of right now 68 of their students are from the United States, and literally the rest of those are from all around the world. You can't see it here, so. 15 from the Philippines, 6 from Ghana, 3 from Nigeria, 2 from Liberia. That surprised me. 2 from Venezuela, 1 from Guatemala, 1 from Mexico, 1 from Peru, 1 from South Africa, 1 from the United Arab Emirates. And 1 from Vietnam. And so they just this impact as they're engaging. And again, thank the Lord for the internet. Although so many of these are actually on campus.
Yes.
I think there's a high percentage of their international students who are right there in Jacksonville in personal study. And, you know, we just want to thank them. A lot of the international we work with have been impacted and served by the ministry of the BMA Seminary here in Texas.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that they talk about here is again, we're moving into the new fiscal year for all of our ministries. And so, I mean, here in particular, the seminary talking about, you know, really 32 of these students are considered unfunded. And I think that's something that we need to consider is, you know, how can we help with some of those things? If you're looking for, I mean, these guys and many of them, you know, we've seen over the years, you know, for whatever reason, especially with immigration and things, these international students can't stay here, but they go back with all of this. All the things that they're learning, all the things that we're, you know, be able to entrust to them.
Yes.
And so they go back to their homes with you know, really equipped to make a difference there. And so, I mean, it's a powerful, powerful tool.
Well, and I see that contrast all the time. I have a lot of conversations with internationals here in Texas that have gone to school at other Baptist institutions.
Yeah.
And they have a common story And that is, they are saddled with enormous college debt, mm-hmm. enormous.
Yes.
With the promise that just come and we'll help you find churches who will help you pay, help you pay down that debt. And for too many of them, that is an unrealized promise.
Yeah.
And to know that our BMA seminary, that's not their story. I mean, through their work programs, through local jobs, through their scholarships, because of BMA churches, they're keeping education affordable and they're helping these students to get this education. And I am just so thankful for that heart behind the BMA. As I've looked historically at BMA of Texas, I can just say this is one thing, this is a value of BMA. Our money goes to ministry.
Absolutely.
And typically BMA ministries put their money in the ministry they're involved in. And I'm thankful that our BMA seminary is doing just that.
They are. They are. I love it. All right. So it brings us to our auxiliaries page. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, WMA, the Sunbeams, GMAs. And so this article is really centered on mostly about the Sunbeams.
You
know, and but I know you have a lot of experience with the WMA in particular.
Yes. So just a little bit. Well,
held a couple of those positions once or twice, and so
To say of the Sunbeams, they just had their meeting yearly at Jacksonville College, and I know they were excited to be hosted there, and thankful for that ministry. I was a Sunbeam myself when I was a little kid.
Right.
I could sing you the theme song right now, but I'll spare you instead.
That might be worth.
I'll be a sunbeam for Jesus.
Yeah. So I can sunbeam, sunbeam.
That's it.
Yeah.
But
hey, I was really impressed that these children raised $1,101.69 for Pastor Sasha at the Water of Life Mission Church there in Ukraine. I've had the opportunity to meet Sasha, and just a man and his wife with a great heart.
Yeah, with all they're going through over there in the Ukraine.
Oh,
unbelievable.
But they refuse to leave.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's their home.
That is their home, and they're continuing to fight through it. So, love that. And of course, WMA. Yeah, I mean, we get
WMA. My heart.
Yes.
I want to speak on our project.
Okay.
Which happens to be the Texas Baptist Home.
All right.
Wonderful.
And our project is to raise $30,000 for signage around the home. Nothing worse than going somewhere and not knowing where to go.
Where you're going.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Hopefully some of this signage will be up by the time of our meeting.
Yeah.
In November. We're raising $30,000 for it, and we're getting close.
Yeah.
Right now we have 22,000 of it raised.
Yeah.
So that's great. And then to move on to our meeting in November, which will be on Wednesday, we will have breakout sessions. We'll have a breakout strictly for our Hispanic friends, and then there'll be three other breakouts for everyone else. Now, don't think we're leaving out Hispanics altogether. They can visit the other three, but there's one that'll specifically be in Spanish.
Yes.
And as we celebrate the 125 years, WMA will have a birthday party also. And we're continuing the voyage of WMA. And we're seeking to find all of our past presidents.
Oh, wow.
And invite them back.
Okay.
So if you're a past president, and you don't hear from Charlotte Johnson just really soon, please go to texaswma.com, our website, and you'll find her address, her phone number. Give her a call so she can set you up and give you the information for it. But we want to celebrate WMA in that way.
Yes,
yes, definitely.
I always love it. Yeah,
it was fun to see. That in 1901, at the first meeting, one of the first thing they did was, I believe, with a $7 donation, and officially established the Texas WMA. And so, yeah, it's its 125th birthday right alongside the BMA of Texas. And how it's been an important critical ministry.
Absolutely.
Within.
I mean, and we talk about it all the time. The missions, Texas missions has been, we're still benefiting from, being the project. I mean, we ended up with 30,000 or something. I don't remember what it was.
Well,
that we ended up with
our trailer, which is sitting outside right now, was
also the
project
books,
of, and then our resource library that is blessing our missionaries.
Yes, every time. So, I mean, we're still benefiting from that. And so, I mean,
it's not women messing around, by the way.
That sounds fun, though.
It does. But it is a lot of work.
I bet
it is. This is open to all of the women.
Absolutely.
You don't have to have a WMA in your church.
Yes.
If you just have a group of ladies meeting together for a Bible study, you're part of the Texas ladies. Mm-hmm. You're a Texas woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, every ministry.
That's what we're for.
Every ministry of the church is a. If our mandate is missions, then every ministry of the church should be missional.
Absolutely.
And the WMA stands ready to help any ladies group in any church engage globally and be missional.
Yes.
And I love that.
Yes.
Because anything we do, there should be a missional component to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
That's good.
All right. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for the project. Yes. And we're going to see that come. So, all right. We're coming to the getting close to the end here. So, as we kind of get ready to kind of close out, just one of some important dates, that we'll see in the paper. Obviously, we've got the Texas meeting coming up, the state of Texas, the state meeting. But we have also on September 29th through October 1st is the Recharge retreat. So it's happening, and so that's through Healthy Church Solutions, I think. So,
BMA Global
sponsored. So, if you guys want to check that out, but also the main thing is it's in Memphis, but there's a part in there that you can look at. But also, main thing really is our BMA of Texas State meeting, and we're coming up, and Heath has mentioned it several times, even the 125th anniversary. And so,
November 17th and 18th, your packets. Your information about the meeting is officially in the mail today.
Yes.
The goal is this week, but for the first time, you can go on the BMA of Texas website, and all of the information is there, and you can even fill out the forms online there at the BMA of Texas website. Can register your church.
We're doing it.
Stepping up.
excited
about
that.
Saving stamps.
There you go. There
saving
you
go. Postage.
Yeah.
Also on this page, the BMA of America meeting is April 21st and 22nd, and it's going to be in Antioch in Conway, Arkansas this year. But Brother Charles Johnson, the current BMA of America president, has an article in the Progress reminding everyone that if you want to petition and join the BMA of America, then the deadline to get the petition in and the details for doing so are January the 31st. Mm-hmm. And so to join BMA of America in that April meeting, they have a committee process. And so so you'd need to do that by January the 31st. And in this article, he's got a phone number and everything you need.
And he walks through the process, because there is a vetting process, when you're dealing, with churches from all over, and know that they have interview, and just making sure that we agree on the same things and agree with the statement of faith and those sort of things. But I think it's important to note that sometimes, especially some of our missionaries, have always thought that I joined the BMA of Texas, so I joined, it automatically connects me to the BMA of America, but it's not. So
separate organization.
It is a separate organization, so you do need to to make that request and petition there. So I love that.
On behalf of BMA of Texas, if you go to the BMA of Texas website, there is a there's instructions for petitioning, but we have a petitionary form, and encourage you, call the office here, to talk to us, get information about joining. Get that petition in ahead of our state meeting.
Yeah.
So
okay.
And can join our November meeting as well.
All right. Okay, and there is a list of our local association meetings here in the progress. Again, this we want to put it in there one more time, all the associational meetings, local associations that are happening. Again, there's a list of that there. But we also have personnel positions. There's several there that if you're looking for a particular position for your church or maybe somebody to fill that position, we make that available. There's some here in the paper, but we have more available online. So if you're looking for that information, you can go to our website, the Progress Baptist Progress website, and you can find that information. Now, there's more there, but one we want to celebrate for sure. Pastor staff changes. Somebody found him a pastor, and so I think Yay. They found him a good one too.
Sure did.
Yeah,
Brother Turner Harper, who has been discipled and on staff over at First Baptist Rice, is the new pastor of First Baptist Flint. I'm so excited for him and so excited for them.
Jerry was super pumped because, I mean, he's discipled him. It's like his kid. And so, yeah, I mean, he's a son in the faith. And to see him kind of take that step is exciting. We're excited for them.
Congratulations, Turner.
Absolutely. Congratulations.
And just to highlight a few of these churches in the paper, First Missionary Terrell is a sweet church over in Terrell with a wonderful facility. They just remodeled it this last year. Brother Buddy Sadler is such a wonderful man and pastor, and is just getting to a place in life where he's needing to pass it off. And they're looking for a bivocational pastor there. Mm-hmm. Lake Ridge Lubbock right now is looking for a full-time youth and outreach pastor. First Baptist Palmer is seeking a full-time youth pastor right now. Crossroads Church in Winsboro, Texas, is seeking a pastor. I'll tell you, it's tempting. This is such a wonderful, sweet church, and every year they do a homemade ice cream fellowship that they when I was living in that area, I never missed. I'll just tell you, but boy, they're a sweet bunch. And then Calvary Baptist Church in Ennis right now is looking for a pastor, and again, just these are all such good and sweet congregations, and we just we join them in prayer and know that God's man is out there, that the assignment has been given. We're just praying for the connection.
Absolutely.
Man, I love this back to school page, Chris. Woo. It's very purple this time.
Yeah,
it's very purple because
highlights of yellow
Gold.
Gold.
Yeah, most of these pictures I think are Jacksonville College back to school photos, right?
Absolutely. They and like you say, we talked about earlier just how great their back to school was. They had some. We see some of our churches there, just having a kind of a welcome for them out in on the campus there, but they had a big turnout. I'm telling you what, it's exciting. So we just wanted to celebrate that as they went back to school and those. You know, be in prayer for them and you know what God continues to do there. But it's great to celebrate that. I just
doing
love
ministry through fun things.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I think we'll talk about it even more next month. But man, you know, United Thanksgiving Offering this year is something special for us. Occasionally, you know, there's a death in the BMA of a leader, and we have memorialized that United Thanksgiving Offering, but I don't think we've ever done what we've done this year, and that is we have honored the wife of a past BMA director. Dr. Edwin Crank was the Jacksonville College president for so long, and his wife Sandra is
a sweetheart.
I know, such a love lady in the BMA.
Yes.
Dr. Crank served the college, and so did she faithfully.
Yes.
And I'll just tell you, as a college student, just for all of the students, to be encouraged was just to go hang out a little bit in Miss Crank's office.
Yes.
She was just such a, she just mattered so much to every student.
Whoever went to her away from home.
She was
the mother to many.
And I know you've known her. Yes. You've known her beyond that.
Yes. Her daughter Tammy and Larry, they served at our church in Garland. And through that, they lived down the street from us, by the way. And my daughter was their permanent babysitter. And so through that time, we really got to know the Cranks and Miss Sandra. And I just love that lady.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it'll be great to honor her. And so those packets are coming out soon.
They'll come out next month.
Next month. So they'll be coming out next month. So hopefully, all of those benefit the ministries of the BMA of Texas.
Sure.
And so we're excited about that. So y'all be on the lookout for those things as they come out. That gets us to the end. So thank you guys for being here today.
Yes.
Thank y'all for your time, Miss Diana. Man, it's what a pleasure.
Yes, glad to be here.
Anytime I get to see you, it's always a pleasure, man. I love you so much, and I'm so thankful for you and just the impact that you and your family have had on me and my family and my ministry. I mean, I didn't get to tell that story, but Trevor was why we ended up at Union Hill. I mean, he invited me over. We had come off a wounded time of ministry, and we got there, and of course, you know, Calvin would come in and love on me and, you know, sit down. When he'd show up, I'd just close everything because I'm going to have at least an hour's worth of
time.
He'd come in my office, I'd see him come in and I'd just close everything up.
Yes.
But I miss those times with him. But more than that, you know, we always had lunch at Grammy's house. And for my family away from home, it was such a powerful healing moment for us. And I'd never be able to repay that. And so I'm so thankful for you.
Thank you.
Thankful for what you do at the BMA and just your love for the BMA, for the BMA of Texas in particular. And excited about what's happening at Union Hill.
Yes, very excited.
Thank you for being here, Heath, and always for your expertise.
Oh,
and
right.
So, man, one of these days I'm going to be...
I'll never read it as much as you. What I lack in expertise, I definitely make up for in excitement. I love our BMA family.
I do. I as well. I am so thankful to be a part of the BMA. I'm so thankful, but I'm genuinely so excited always about... I can't tell people enough about how excited I am about what God is doing in and through the BMA of Texas. And it's so fun. So fun. And
come get involved.
Absolutely. Find a place. And I think that's been our theme is missions, ministry in your own, whatever
find
it is, find a place to serve, do something. You have something to offer. Your kingdom valuable. So make a difference. And so thank you guys for joining us. Look forward to next month. And till then, God bless you.